Okay, so last week we had a question, and that was basically the entire shiur last week, is we had different opinions why an egg that is born on Yantif is usher according to Beis Hillel, right? So some of the opinions were for a deoraisa reason. Rabba's opinion is because it's lacking hachana, and hachana is a deoraisa, it's lacking preparation, and on a deoraisa level, you need to have, you know, you have to have hachana, you have to have preparation, and the egg that's born on Yantif is lacking preparation, right? So we also had two other reasons. We had the opinion of Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, were basically derabbanan reasons, that the reason why we make the egg aser is a gzera peris hanoshen, because we're worried that if you allow the egg to become eaten on Yantif, you're going to eat fruit that fall off a tree, which is going to lead you to pick a fruit off the tree. Or, you know, if you eat an egg on Yantif, or you're going to come to drink these liquids that came out of a fruit, and you're going to then squeeze the fruit. So we asked the question according to the opinions that say it's only derabbanan, and according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, we asked the question, we said like this. There's a brisa that says an egg that was born on Yantif, that was given, you know, hatched on Yantif. So there's a suffix, if it's a suffix, whether if it was laid on Yantif, there's a suffix whether it's mutter or aser, right? So let's say there's a suffix whether it's mutter or aser. Why? Because we don't know if it was laid on Yantif or before Yantif, right? If you have a situation where you have an egg that was laid on Yantif or maybe not on Yantif, you don't know. You go to the coop where they have the hens and you see an egg. So we know an egg that's for sure laid on Yantif according to Beis Hillel and all the other opinions that we quoted is aser. Let's say if an egg that it's a suffix whether it was laid on Yantif. So we said in this brisa that a suffix egg that's laid on Yantif is aser, right? So you're not allowed to have it. So then we said this fits well with the opinion of Rabbah, that the whole reason why the egg itself is aser on Yantif is because of a deoraisa issue, a hachana issue. So suffix deoraisa lechumra. So if there's a concept that if it's a biblical prohibition, if there's a suffix, if there's a, you know, we're not unsure, so we go lechumra, we go stringently. So it makes sense why the egg that's laid on Yantif, if there's a suffix, whether it's laid on Yantif or not, so we're going to say that it's aser. But according to the opinions of Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, why is that egg, that suffix, that it was laid on Yantif or not, why is it aser? Right? It should be suffix derabbanan. They hold it's only derabbanan prohibition, so it should be suffix derabbanan the kula.
Why is hachana aser on Yantif? Yantif, you're allowed to cook.
No, because it has to have preparation before. And we said,
I can bake a bread on Yantif, so I have to prepare my flour and
you have to have had the ability to say, at least according to Rashi, you have to have had the ability to make a verbal declaration before Yantif that it's mutter, that it should be mutter for tomorrow, right? So why, on a normal Yantif, is there a problem? Because we make a gezeira of Yantif, which follows after a Shabbos, right? Where the egg was finished on Shabbos, and you couldn't have had a halchana on Shabbos for Yantif. So therefore, the egg on Yantif is going to be aser, deoraisa. It's a little bit of a question, yes, it's only a gezeira, right, so why should it be that it's considered suffik del reis lechomer? Should we consider suffik del rabbanon? Why should we consider suffik del reis lechomer? Should we consider suffik del rabbanon lekula?
Also, if it's a del reis, how can you make an erev tav shilin?
Well, you make an erev tav shilin on Yantif for Shabbos, right?
I mean, how can the...
No, but you make it before. You don't make it on Yantif. You make it before Yantif. You make it on erev Yantif. You make an erev tav shilin.
Right, but why should we?
Because that, in other words, what we're saying is on Erev Yantif, we're saying anything we do on Yantif already has hachana now for Shabbos, right? Just like you need hachana for Yantif, you also need hachana for Shabbos, right? So why are you allowed to make an Erev Tav Shilom on Erev Yantif? There's hachana that everything we make on Yantif will be mutter for Shabbos. Anyways, going back to the original thing. So according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, how is it that the egg, which there's a suffix, whether it was born on, whether it was laid on Yantif or on Erev Yantif, how come there's a suffix? When we say there's a suffix, we say that it's aser. It should be suffix derabbanan lekula, right? So the Gemara says like this. So we try to bring a proof to show that Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak's opinions are wrong. So we say that's not really correct. So you say like this. Really, Rav Ashi Amar Leolam suffix Yantif suffix chol. Really. We try to say, we said maybe the egg, the Bryce is talking about not an egg that was suffix born in Yantif, suffix now. We said maybe it's talking about a suffix trefa egg, right? Which would be a deoraisa issue. That's what we said last week. And maybe that egg is not really a suffix Yantif, suffix chol, because then it should really be mutter. It was talking about a trefa egg. That's how we try to save the Bryce to make it fit with the opinions of Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak. So we said, no, really, at the end of the day, it's talking about an egg that there's a suffix, whether it was born on Yantif, suffix it was not born on Yantif. Oh, so why is the egg aser? Right? Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak say it's only derabbanan issue. It should be suffix derabbanan lekula. So Rav Ashi says, "Havi davar sheyesh lo matirin v'chol davar sheyesh lo matirin afilu b'derabanan lo batel." So what does this mean? So it's like this. We discussed this briefly last week. If you have something that falls into, let's say you have an egg that you know for sure was born on Yontif. So it falls into 1,000 eggs. So in that situation, it's not batel. It's not nullified. All 1,000 eggs become usher. Why? Because since that egg, which is born on Yontif, will be mutter tomorrow, so we're more stringent and we say that today, it's not going to be batel. So, when you have this egg that's a suffek, right, whether it's born on Yontif or not, so it's really only a derabanan issue, right? Because according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, even if it's born on Yontif itself, it's a derabanan. But Rav Ashi says that this brice is going within the opinion that even with a derabanan item, if it would fall to 1,000 items, it wouldn't be batel. And similarly, if there's a suffix by a derabanan item, whether it's born on Yontif or not, it's going to still be aser. In other words, normally we say suffix deoraisa lechumra, suffix derabanan lekula. But there is an opinion that says that by a derabanan issue that falls into 1,000 other things on Yontif, we're not going to say it's batel because it's being mutter tomorrow. And that opinion also holds that when you have an egg that's a suffix, whether it's born on Yontif or not born on Yontif, even though it's only a derabanan, since it will be mutter tomorrow anyway, so therefore we say that right now it's going to be usher, even though normally we say suffix derabanan lekulo. So that's an interesting opinion. Basically, it doesn't follow the rule of suffix derabanan lekulo because it will be mutter tomorrow. So even though it's only a derabanan issue and it's a suffix whether or not it's mutter, because maybe it was born in Yontif, maybe it's not, we still say that it's going to be usher because it's going to be mutter tomorrow.
Fine. If it's by itself?
Right, okay. it's still,
even by itself, it's still usher?
Right, because even though it's a suffix, whether it was born on Yontif or not, it's by itself.
Right.
Still, since it's going to be mutter, that egg itself, even by itself, will be mutter tomorrow. So therefore, right now, even though it's only derabanan issue, we're going to say that we're going to go to chumra and say it's usher right now.
There's no logic to that. It's a saying.
Why is there no logic?
Why is
there no logic?
Why get involved? Why should this fact that tomorrow something's going to be mutter change them and see what it is today?
So you're asking a good question because that's the opinion of the Ran. The Ran challenges Rashi's opinion. And Rashi says, why is it usher today? It'll be mutter tomorrow, so big deal. Just wait till tomorrow. And today it's usher. The Ran says that makes no sense. Why? If it's mutter tomorrow, that means it should be mutter today. It's obviously not so serious. So the Ran says like this. I think we said this last week also. Really, how does bittul work? So the Ran says the way bittul works is there's a clash. You have the things that are aser, and then you have the overwhelming things that are mutter, and they clash, and the mutter stuff swallows up the aser stuff, and then it's kilu that the aser stuff dissolves. Like when you have a solute and a solvent, right? The solute dissolves into the solvent and loses its identity. Same thing over here, right? So when you have the little, let's say you have an egg that's for sure aser, and is never going to become mutter. It falls into 1,000 other eggs. So it clashes with the 1,000 mutter eggs, loses its identity, and becomes mutter also. The Ran says, though, this egg that we have that's going to be mutter tomorrow, it's not really so aser, right? It's not really so aser because it'll be mutter tomorrow. So since it's not so aser, it lacks the ability to clash with the heter. Bittul only works when there's a clash. So here, since that item is not really so usher, it can't really make a clash. And since it can't really make a clash, it's not going to be batel. That's what the Ran's opinion. That's why he says that that's how he says Dover Sheishlo Matirim works.
Does that mean that if the egg was laid on the first of a 2-day yantif, that you'd wait 2 days?
So we're going to get up to that today on Amud Beis. So we'll wait till we get to there. Okay. Fine. So now, Tanya, Acherim Omrim, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. So there's a brisa that was taught that people say in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Beitzel Tochal Hiv Ima. So he made this very ambiguous statement. We said the Mishnah was ambiguous. It seems to be that the beginning of Beitzel is very ambiguous. So he made an ambiguous statement. He said like this, an egg that is laid, the mother and the egg can be eaten. So the Gemara asks the question like this, B'maya Skinan, what are we dealing with over here? Right? If you want to say it's a hen that it itself can be eaten, right? That the hen is not kept to lay eggs. The hen is kept to be eaten. So, pshita dehivi ima sharia. So, then what is he saying? So he's saying, within the opinion of Beis Shammai, the egg and the hen are mutter. Of course the egg and the hen are mutter. In other words, what are you trying to say? He's like, the egg and the hen are mutter. What are we dealing with here? If it's a hen that stands to be eaten, and you're simply saying the opinion of Beis Shammai that it's that the egg is simply food that's separated from the hen, and the hen is mutter, and the egg is mutter. Okay, obviously. So then just say you hold like Beis Shammai. Like, why do you have to go into this whole complicated thing? It and the egg and the mother are mutter. So say you hold like Beis Shammai. Right? And if you want to say, Ela b'targosa o medes l'gadol beitzim. So really the case must be a case where the hen and the egg are going to be usser, right? You would think. Why? Because it's a case of a hen that stands to give eggs, right? So the hen itself is muksa, because you didn't think to use the hen on yontif to eat it. The egg also is going to be muksa, because we're going to see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that there is a concept of muksa on yontif. So the Gemara says, "Hi v'ima asura," right? Why did Rabbi Eliezer say that the egg and the mother are mutter? If anything, it should be the opposite, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that there's a concept of muksa on yontif, and therefore when you have a hen that stands to give eggs, the egg is muksa because it was born on yontif, and the hen is usher because it doesn't stand to be eaten, so you can't eat the hen.
That has dire consequences in halacha, though.
Why?
Because if I'm on yontif, I don't know what I'm going to eat today.
Yeah.
Let's eat spaghetti. Whoops. I didn't plan. I don't plan on yontif. I don't know what I'm going to eat. Now all of a sudden I have a problem.
Right, so it's like this. So the reason with the hen, though, when it stands to be eaten, right? So let's say you don't know you want to eat the hen, but the hen stands to be eaten.
Okay.
Eventually you're going to eat it. So when you decide to eat on yontif, it's mutter, according to Beis Shammai, right?
Right, according to Beis Shammai, but according to...
So he holds like Beis Shammai, right? Rabbi Eliezer holds like Beis Shammai and says, he said, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? He said the egg and the hen are mutter, right? So we're like, what kind of case are we dealing with over here? If it's a hen that stands to be eaten... So even if you didn't think about it on before yontif, it's still mutter because it stands to be eaten, and the egg is also going to be mutter. So he said no. So it can't be that case. So that's too obvious. So it must be the case of where the hen stands to give eggs, and the egg itself is born on yontif, right? And so in that case, the question is, why did Rabbi Eliezer say it's mutter? Rabbi Eliezer holds a muksa, so then the hen which stands to give eggs, and the egg which is born on yontif should be aser. So why do you say that it's mutter? Basically, there's no issue of when you decide to eat something on yontif that you're in a problem, because if it stands to be eaten anyway, then it's okay. The problem is something that does not stand to be eaten, like a hen that normally gives eggs. You can't just change like unless you have a cow that stands to give milk. You can't just change your mind and say, well, now I want to kill that cow unless you thought about it before yontif.
Okay. Yeah, but you let it chef the chicken on yontif.
Yeah, you're allowed to. You're allowed to. It's a machlokas. We said whether or not if you have dirt prepared, right, to do kisoy, right, because we know that a chaya and an oaf need kisoy, you need to cover the blood. But in terms of whether you're allowed to, yes, because you're allowed to do anything for ochel nefesh. Anything that's for food, you're allowed to do on yontif. It happens to be that Rav Shechter holds that nowadays you would not be allowed to kill a animal on yontif, because since we have refrigeration, you really could do it before yontif already. In other words, if you live in a case where you live in the desert in Israel somewhere, so if you don't kill it that day, it's going to be messed up already by the next day. But in a situation like nowadays where you have a refrigeration, Rosh Hashanah actually holds you should not.
The next day.
You would not, right, you could keep it anyway, so you can't say that it's mutter to do on yontif anymore. That's just an interesting point. So anyways, let's continue. So what are we dealing with here? Rabbi Eliezer, he said that the egg and the mother are mutter. So if it's a case where the hen stands to be eaten, of course the egg and the hen are mutter. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. You should just say the opinions like he holds like Beis Shammai. And if the hen and the egg, if the hen is a hen that stands to give eggs, so the egg is muksa, right? And the hen is also going to be a problem of muksa. So how is he going to say it's mutter? Because he holds that there's a concept of muksa on yontif, right? So this is interesting. So Amar of Zera, Tochel Agav Ime. So what Rabbi Eliezer was really saying is that the egg can be eaten if the mother can be eaten. What does that mean? So let's read what that means. Hey, Chidami, what does that mean? Amar Abaye, Kigon Shalachastam. You buy before Yantif a hen. You didn't say whether you want it to lay eggs. You didn't say whether you want it to just be eaten. Right? So what? Nishkita, if you decide to kill the hen on Yantif, Huvra Dachilo Medes. So what are you showing? You're showing retroactively that when you bought that hen, you wanted to buy it for eating purposes, right? So if you wanted to buy for eating purposes, so the egg that came out of it on Yontif is also going to be mutter, because it's simply food that's separated from the main food, right? The hen is for food, and the egg is also for food, and it just simply separated, so the egg is going to be mutter also, right? Lo nishketa, if you didn't kill that hen on Yontif, so what does it show? So it shows Hovra de la gadol beitzim omedes. So then it shows what? Retroactively, it shows that when you bought the hen, it was for it to lay eggs, right? So then, because you didn't kill it, and therefore what? Then the egg is not simply food that's separated from food and mutter. No, the egg is now something that's separated from a hen that lays eggs, that's, you know, stands to lay eggs, and the egg is now an issue of muksa. Because the egg is only mutter when it comes from a hen, right, that is not standing, at least according to this, not standing to lay eggs. It has to be a case where it's standing to be eaten, because then it's simply food that's separated from other food.
If you had the intention to take the egg, which is laid in the yontif before the yontif started.
Oh, so he's right. So you asked this last week also. So I think it wouldn't matter, because at the end of the day, it's still not in the world. You can't do hachan on something that's not in the world currently. Right. In other words, it's still it's in the world in the sense that it's inside the mother, right? But it's a good question though, because Tosos actually deals with the same question. So he says that basically there's two aspects. In other words, aspect number one is it's prepared before Yontif, it's finished inside the mother. Aspect number two is that it actually comes out, right? So maybe you'd be able to do hachan in the sense that it's already finished, right, before Yontif, but it didn't come out yet, so it's lacking that finishing touch. But it's a very good question, it happens to be, because Tosso says the same question. So that's it. So Rav Mari Amar Guzma Kitani. So that's one answer. So one answer was really, what is Rabbi Eliezer saying when he said that the egg is mutter and the mother is mutter? He's saying that the egg is mutter depending on the mother. If the mother was bought stam, if the mother was just bought and we don't know what your intention is with the mother. If the mother, and then on Yontif you kill it, so it shows that it was always for achila, and therefore the egg is also going to be mutter, because it's ochla da'afrad, right? It's food that's separated from other food. If, however, you don't kill the hen on Yontif, so it shows that it was always for beitzim, it was always for eggs, and therefore the egg itself is going to be also asur.
So, first of all, let's assume that you hold from gray rice, so, right?
Right, you have to, of course, because you have to. It has to be retroactively. What did you think?
The fact that it wasn't shechted
does not necessarily. I agree, but that's what the Gemara assumes that you. It could say that you could still say it's for food, but later on for food.
Really,
at least you could. No, so maybe you could say like this: is that for Yontif itself, it shows you didn't have hachana for Yontif, right? In other words, because we don't care about what happens tomorrow. All you need is today, right? That, in other words, that you didn't have. If you didn't have in mind to kill the hen today, so mimela is not food. If it's not food, mimela the egg is not food that's separated from other food.
Is this Guzma a name or?
So here we go. So Guzma means it means exaggeration. So Ramari Amar Guzma Kitani. In other words, really, it wasn't teaching us that depends on the mother. Whatever happens with the mother, that's what whether the egg is mutter or not. No, that's not what Rabbi Eliezer was saying. What was he saying? He was saying an exaggeration, right? The case is a hen that stands to be eaten, right? If a hen stands to be eaten on Yontif, the egg is for sure mutter, right? Like, according to Beis Shammai, right? So why did he say the egg and the hen are mutter? Of course the hen is mutter. The hen stands to be eaten, and the egg, right, is also food that separates from other food. So he says it's simply an exaggeration, right? Rav Mari Amar Guzma Kitani. In other words, he wanted to strengthen the fact that the egg is mutter on Yontif. So he said the egg's mutter, the hen's mutter, everything's mutter.
He was on a roll.
It's not that in Ochanam it's obvious that the hen is mutter. The point is that the egg, there's a machlokas beis shamay beis hillel by the egg, right? So he wanted to say that we hold that the egg is mutter on Yontif. So therefore he exaggerates and says the egg is mutter, everything is mutter. Right, so it's not really a chiddush. It's just that the point was is that he wanted to strengthen his words to say that the egg is mutter. So let's continue. So how do we know that Rabbi Eliezer sometimes says exaggerations? Because we see right here in this brisa, the Tanya Acher Momer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Beitza Tocho Hi VeImo VeEfroch VeKli Pasa. He says an egg that's born on Yontif, right, from a hen that stands to be eaten, the egg can be eaten, the mother can be eaten. Right, right, and the chick in its shell can be eaten. No, Abe, you asked this the first week, so we're getting to this. What you asked the first week, because you said, is it an egg that stands for chicks, or is it an egg that just that has no chick inside? So now we're going to discuss. Let's listen to this. So how is this an exaggeration? So we say, where are we? My klipaso. So what does it mean that an egg can be eaten in its shell? You're saying you're going to eat the shell also? Ilema klipa mamish. Right? If you want to say that you can eat the egg and the shell, what do you mean you eat the shell? No one eats a shell. Right? So that's impossible. Klipa basachilahi, no one eats the shell. Ela efroch beklipaso. So what does it mean? It means he said that an egg that has a little baby inside of it, you can eat that egg on Yontif, right? Even though it's in its shell. So that doesn't make sense either. Why? Because Akan lo pligi rabbanon leid Rabbi Eliezer be Yaakov ela hechad yatzal avir olam. Ela hechad lo yatzal avir olam lo pligi. There's only a machlokas. There's a machlokas when a baby bird is born, how soon can you kill the bird? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that it has to open its eyes. You can't do shechita on it until it opens its eyes. The Rabbanan say, as long as it's born, it's okay. But everyone agrees that if it's in the shell still and has never been hatched, it's not mutter. So the egg, when Rabbi Eliezer said, an egg that is laid on Yontif, you can eat it, you can eat the mother, and even if it's a little baby bird in the shell. But everyone agrees that a baby bird in the shell, you can't eat. So obviously, what is it? It's just he's exaggerating. It means, it's not talking about a bird in a shell. It's just saying an egg that doesn't have a bird in it is mutter. And he's going so far to say, yeah, even a bird, even if it had a bird in it and a shell, and you could eat everything. But it's not literal. It's just saying that an egg that's laid on Yontif is mutter. But an egg that had a bird in it, you would not be able to eat on Yontif because you can't do shechita on it until it's at least hatched. So that's that. So basically, it's just a, you know, it's just a exaggeration. So there's two ways basically to answer the problem. Rabbi Elazar said the mother, an egg that is laid on Yontif, the egg and the mother are mutter. So one thing is he's just saying one thing is that he's saying you go based on the mother. The mother is bought stam. If it's bought for eggs, so then the egg that's born is going to be asar on Yontif, right? If it's bought to kill the mother, how do we know that? Because you killed it on Yontif, so then the egg is going to also be mutter, right? And the other way is to say, no, he wasn't. The point wasn't to say some chiddush like that. It wasn't talking about like Breira or some chiddush. It was just simply saying that the egg is mutter on Yontif because he holds like Beis Shammai, right? And he said the mother because he wanted to say an exaggeration, that he wanted to really show that he's right. Okay. Right, so he says, Ela efrach klipaso guzma hachanami tochal hi v'ima guzma, right? The idea of hi v'ima, that you could eat it, is just simply an exaggeration. Okay, so now we're going to a new topic. So we're finally finished with that. Now we're going to a case where you have Shabbos and Yontif next to each other. It's not exactly a new topic, but it's not what we were discussing. Is the egg that's going to be mutter, if born on one, mutter on the next day? Fine. So what does it say? So it says, Itmar, Shabbos for Yontif. You have two consecutive days, Shabbos and then Yontif, right? So the egg is, let's say it's just Shabbos and then Yontif, and the egg is laid on Shabbos. Is it mutter on Yontif? So what are you going to say? So why is it no? The answer is because it doesn't have hachana, right? Because how is it going to have hachana on the next, let's say Shabbos is first, then Yontif. How is it going to have hachana on Yontif? Shabbos is not mechin for Yontif. You need a weekday to do hachana on for Yontif. But here you have a Shabbos right before and it's late on Shabbos. So how are you going to be able to do it for Yontif? So this is where Tosfos asks what you said, that yeah, but it was finished before Shabbos, which means that You should be able to do achana before Shabbos, and then ultimately should be mutter on Yontif. But he says no, because you also need achana for the fact that once it's born.
It's late before Shabbos, or it was.
It's late on Shabbos. And the question is it mutter the next day on Yontif? Or you have two consecutive days, Shabbos and Yontif. So what? It's a machlokes. So Rav Amar Noda Bezeh Asura Bezeh. Rav says if it's born on one day, if it's born, let's say on Shabbos, it's asur the next day on Yontif. Rav Yochanan Amar Noda Bezeh Muteres Bezeh. Rav Yochanan says if it's late on one day, it's mutter on the next day.
He doesn't care about Shabbos.
Oh, so he doesn't care. So we'll see what's going on. So name a ksavarav kedusha achasi. So the first assumption is not about hachana. The first assumption is not, it's not that you need preparation, that the egg is only mutter on Yontif because you need preparation. It's that Shabbos and Yontif, Shabbos doesn't end, like there's a thing, right? The king is dead, long live the king. Why do they say that when the king dies? There's no second where there's no malchus, where there's no king. It's the king is dead. And right away, long live the king, and there was no second where there was no king. The king's son is automatically the king as soon as the king dies. So same exact thing here. when Shabbos ends and Yontif starts, is it that there's a second where it's nothing and then Yontif, or it's no? As soon as Shabbos ends, Yontif automatically starts, and there's no second where there was a break, right? So to say, so what is we seem to say here? What the Havamin is? What does Rav hold? Rav says the egg that is born on Shabbos is usher even on Yontif. Why? Lema k'savarav kedusha achasi. It's one long kedusha. In other words, Shabbos. There's no break between Shabbos and Yontif. It's one long thing, and therefore, since it's born on Shabbos, it's going to be usher on Yontif because it's one long day. That's not true. So that's why he says it's usher. That's why we think he says it's usher. But that's not true. V'hama Rav halacha arba zekein and v'aliba derebe Eliezer damer shtei kedusha zekein. But Rav said that Shabbos and Yontif are not one long holiness. It's two separate holinesses. In other words, there's a second between Shabbos and Yontif where it's nothing. Right? Shabbos ends a billionth of a second, it's zero, and then it goes into Yontif, and it's his own Kedusha. How do we know that? Because basically, Rabbi Eliezer says in Erevin, which is what they're quoting from, that you're allowed to set two, there's a thing called Erev Tchumim. Right? If you want to walk, you're only allowed to walk outside the city 2,000 amos. Let's say you want to go more than 2,000 amos, you can set an Erev at the end of the Tchum, which activates, and it makes it as if that's where your house is, and you can go an extra 2,000. Now, let's say you're in the middle over here. So you want to go this way. You want to go this way to let's say this is the east. Let's just say, so if you put your Erev over here, so then it allows you to go an extra 2,000 amos over here. But what does it do? It makes you on this side go much less. In other words, you used to be able to go 2,000. Now you can't go at all this way because your circle where you start, it goes from, instead of being here, when it's here, right, you can go 2,000 this way, 2,000 amos this way, right? But when you put your Erev over here, so then it's only this way and this way, but you can't go anything past the original point that you were at.
You're limited.
Right? Basically, the circle where you're now starting from is more to the east. So let's say one day, let's say you have Shabbos and Yontif. On one day, you want to go 4,000 amos to the east, and one day, you want to go all the way the other way to the west. So Rabbi Eliezer says you could have two Erevs, for one for Shabbos, right? And one that goes all the way that way, and one for Yontif where it goes all the way that way. How could it be that you have two Erevs right before you have to do before? How could it be that you have two Erevs? If it's one long day, you can't set two Erevs. It has to be that they're, obviously, it must be that Shabbos and Yontif are two separate Kedushas.
Make a Tzala between the two, right?
Right. So you see it's two separate Kedushas, and therefore there's a second in time where it's not Yontif, and therefore a new Erev could start to go the other way. So you see that Rav holds that it's two separate Kedushas. So then why does he say the egg that's born on Shabbos is going to be Usher on Yontif? It's not one long day. So he must be that he holds a Rabba, right? So we say, Ela hacha b'hachana de Rabba kemifligay. In other words, everyone agrees, like you said, Alvin, that there's two separate, Shabbos and Yontif are not the same Kedusha. It's not one long day. It's two separate days. Why is the egg Usher on Yontif on the next day if it's born on Shabbos? Because the question is, do you need hachana? Do you need to have this preparation? We know Shabbos, you can't have preparation on Shabbos for Yontif. So Rav obviously holds that there's a concept of that you need hachana, and therefore it's not mutter on Yontif. And Rav Yochanan says we don't hold of hachana, and therefore it's mutter on Yontif. Rav isle hachana de Rabba, Rav Yochanan isle hachana de Rabba. Fine. So that's it. Now we're going to just say a machlokas whether or not, this is not based on hachana de Rabba, just going to be a machlokas whether an egg that's born on Shabbos is mutter on Yontif. But it doesn't necessarily have, it's not a proof that there's another machlokas of Tanayim about hachana de Rabba. It's not a proof. It's just a machlokas in general, whether an egg that's born on Shabbos is going to be mutter on Yontif.
We
pass in
base,
hachana
is also
de Raisa,
or
a drabba? No, we pass in de
Raisa,
like Rabba. Yeah, so kitanai. So let's see, another machlokas tanoim, whether an egg that's born on Shabbos is mutter on Yontif. No, the b'Shabbos tocho b'Yontif, b'Yontif tocho b'Shabbos. Right, so the Tanakhama says, if an egg is born on Shabbos, it's mutter to eat on Yontif. If it's born on Yontif, it's mutter to eat on Shabbos. Rabbi Huda Amar Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, Adayin Hi Machlokas, Shabbos Shamar Rum Tochal, Beis Hillam Rum Lo Sochal. So Rabbi Huda says, it's still a Machlokas that Beis Shammai would say that it's mutter on the next day, right? And Beis Hillam would say, Beis Shammai says it's also mutter on that day itself, right? But Beis Hillam would say that it's Usher on both days. Okay, so it's a machlokas. You see a machlokas tanoim, whether an egg that's born on Shabbos is going to be mutter on Yontif or not, with the Tanakhama saying yes, and basically Rabbi Huda saying that it's not necessarily so clear, and that it's not, right, at least according to Beis Hillel, it's not going to be mutter. Fine. So let's continue. So this is very interesting. Ushbezaichot de Rav Adabar havo havo le hanuch beitzim yontif le Shabbos. So Rav Adbar Hava was staying at some guy's house. Very nice. He's staying at some guy's house. Ushpizaychel is like, you know, we say ushpizin, right? It's the same word. It's like a guest. Ushpizaychel means the host, right? And ushpizin is the guest. So, right? Ushpizi chaynaya to Rav Adbar Hava, right? So the host of Rav Adbar Hava, Havalei Hanach Beitzim, Miyantav Shabbos. He had these eggs that were born, let's say, on Yontif, and the next day Shabbos, or Shabbos, and the next day is Yontif. It's the same thing, right? So here it was Yontif was first, and then Shabbos was the next day. Also the Kameh, so he came to his guest, Rav Adbar Hava, and he asked him the following question. Amar lei mai latvinu ha'inu v'nechlinu l'machar. So he says like this. So today's Yontif. The next day is Shabbos. So he wants to know, okay, you can't eat it today, but he wants to know, first off, can you eat it tomorrow? And even, and if you could eat it tomorrow, today's Yontif. So can you roast it today to eat it tomorrow?
Should be able to do everything according to...
So let's see. Amalei mai dasech. So what do you, so Rav Adbar Hava responds to him. What are you thinking? What's the premise of your question? Rav Yochanan halacha Rav Yochanan. So you want to say what? We said there's a machlok between Rav and Rav Yochanan. That Rav said if an egg is born, let's say on Shabbos, it's not mutter on the next day, and Rav Yochanan said it is mutter. So you want to say what? That the halacha is like Rav Yochanan, that an egg that's born on Shabbos is mutter on Yontif, right? Or same thing as Yontif and mutter on Shabbos. But even if you want to say like Rav Yochanan is still going to agree that on the first day, you can't do anything to the egg. Right? That's what he's going to say. So he says, I feel Rav Yochanan lo kashari el-legmua l'machar. Aba b'yomei lo. Even Rav Yochanan, who said it's mutter on the next day, because he doesn't hold up the concept of hachana d'rabba, will still say on the first day itself that it's aser. The only thing he's going to say is mutter is to do the next day, is to swallow it whole. Right, when you have Yontif and then Shabbos, all we're gonna say is that you can't do anything to it on Yontif. On Shabbos, you're allowed to eat it. It hasn't been prepared, so you're gonna have to swallow it whole.
Unless you do it to the mother also, you said.
Right, that's a separate thing. But I'm saying, according to Rav Yochanan, because that's why this is so complicated. Because they're not necessarily arguing with the mother. They're just saying, let's just say for simplicity's sake, they're saying that the egg itself that's born on the first day is definitely aser, right? We're not talking about that. Maybe it would be mutter according to Beis Shammai with the Achila or the other opinions of, right, the God debates him. Fine. But let's just keep it for simplicity's sake. He says the egg, that everyone agrees that the egg is going to be usher on the first day. Both Rav Yochanan and Rav. All they're going to argue about is it mutter, so it's born in Shabbos. All they're going to argue about is it mutter on the next day of on Yontif. With Rav saying no, because you have Achana and you're lacking Achana over here. You need Achana, you're lacking Achana, right? And Rav Yochanan saying no, it's mutter on the next day. But even Rav Yochanan, who says it's mutter on the next day, he's not going to say that you could do anything today on Yontif to that egg. He's going to say on Shabbos, the next day, you're allowed to swallow it. You're allowed to eat it raw. But you can't prepare it today. Why? Because, as we say, right, Batanya, this is a proof, an egg that's born on Yontif for Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it, right, carry it to cover a vessel or to, you know, use it to support a bed, right? So either way, he's not, Rav Yochanan, even if he says his mutter on the next day on Shabbos, he's not going to say on Yontif you could even, of course you can't roast it because you can't even touch the egg, right?
If it was late, the day before Yontif, then you could
though. Oh, if it's the day before Yontif, you could do whatever you want, I'm saying. Right. But if it's late on Yontif itself, so you're not, it's muksa, you can't touch it. So even if Rav Yochanan, Rav Adbar Hava responds to his host, even if you want to say that we pass like Rav Yochanan, that when you have Yontif and Shabbos, it's going to be mutter on Shabbos when it's born on Yontif, you're not going to be allowed to do stuff on Yontif to the egg, which is born on Yontif, because of the fact that it's muksa. Yeah, tomorrow will be mutter and you could touch it, right? But on the next day, right, so let's say Shabbos came first. So if Shabbos came first, so then on Yontif it's going to be mutter to eat, and then you can roast it on Yontif, obviously. But when you have the situation where Yontif comes first, so you can't do anything to it, and then on Shabbos, you can't roast it on Shabbos, obviously not. So it's mutter, so the only thing you're going to be able to do is to swallow it whole. Right. So, fine. So let's continue. So another story. So either the host of Rapapa or some guy, the us of the comic to Rapapa, some guy just came to Rapapa. If he had the same thing, he had eggs. Here it's Shabbos the Yontif as opposed to Yontif the Shabbos. He had eggs that were born on Shabbos, right? And now he wants to know whether he can eat them the next day on Yontif. What happens? Asal Kame, Amrlei Mahu LaMachlinu LaMachar. Can I eat them tomorrow? Right? Can I eat them on Yontif? Amrlei Zil HaEdno V'Sal LaMachar. He says, go away and ask me tomorrow. So we're on Shabbos over here, right? And he says to him, go away and ask me tomorrow. To why? To Rav lo muki amora aleo miyomatav lecharve mishum shechras. Because there's a halacha that you're not a, that when you're drunk or inebriated, you're not allowed to pass in a shiloh. So he, this guy had come. We're talking, let's say Shabbos afternoon. You know, they had a nice, they had some nice esrog liqueur, Isaac. They had some nice esrog liqueur. They're a little bit woozy, and Rapapa, and he says, come and ask me the shiloh tomorrow on Yontif. The guy wants to know, the egg's born today, it was just born 5 minutes ago. Can I use it tomorrow on Yontif? He says, come and ask me tomorrow, because right now I'm not allowed to pass a shiloh from you, because Rav would have a tradition that he wouldn't have a amora. What's amora? They used to have a person, they didn't have microphones, so I would whisper to the guy, and then the guy would say what I'm saying very loudly. Right? So he wouldn't have someone who, they wouldn't have a drasha on in the afternoon on Shabbos, because they're worried about shechras, because he would feel, right, that he's not, he's drunk and he's going to paskin a shiloh, he's going to say some halacha, and he's not going to say the right thing. Right? Same thing with the 2 day yontif, right? Miyontav lechavre mishum shechras. So, ki asa lemachar, so the guy comes on the next day, amar lei, ichu hashto ishtoli. So it's a, he says like this, it's a good thing you didn't ask me yesterday. Why? Because I would have paskin it incorrectly. What would I have said? I would have said, I'm not thinking so much, I would have said, Rav Yochanan, I would have said simply, the egg is for sure mutter on Yontif. Why? We have a machlokas Rav and Rav Yochanan. You have, when an egg's born in Shabbos, it's a mutter on Yontif. Rav Yochanan said, it's mutter. Rav said, it's aser. Right? So I would have said simply, right, in a machlokas Rav and Rav Yochanan, we pass on like Rav Yochanan. Okay, so the egg's for sure mutter. That's what I would have said. But I wouldn't have been thinking. The whole thing is I would have been drunk and I wouldn't really have been thinking about it so well. Right? Ha amar Rava. Rava made a statement. Hilchas akavasi de Rava. Hani tosi ben lekula ben lechumra. But Rava had said that there's an exception. Normally we pass and let the halachas like Rav Yochanan, but there is three cases that we don't pass and let the halachas like Rav Yochanan, and one of them is this case, that the egg that's born on Shabbos is not mutter on Yontif. Right? So that's basically, so he says, it's a good thing you didn't ask me the Shiloh yesterday, because I would have told you that it's mutter, because, yeah, halachas like Rav Yochanan, it's mutter tomorrow. But that wouldn't have been true, because there's an exception that Rava says that there are three cases that are exceptions, and this is one of those three cases, and it's not mutter on Yontif.
What does Rabbi base the exception on?
We'll see. So Rav Shetter actually said a joke that so he was once at like I think a bris or something. So he said that there was one of the other rabbanim was like, it had like a little schnapps. So Rav Shetter was like to him Rav Shetter was like to him like, aren't you worried, like, how are you going to give a shiur later, like you're like going to be a little bit, you're not allowed to now give a shiur. So he said, don't worry, like I never, only in your shir, Rebbe, that you paskin, like you ask, say so much halacha. In our shir, we never even get to the halacha. Because Rebbe Shetter was ripping on the fact that there's so much shir and that there's so much pilpul that they never even get to the actual halacha. And Rebbe Shetter was like, I don't know. My shir, all we do is basically say halacha, you know, learn a libah the shmaitza, libah the hilchasa. Fun. So now let's continue. Amar Rav Yochanan, Eitzim Shunashru Min Adekah B'Shabbos Asur Lasikim B'Yantif. So Rav Yochanan, remember again, what did Rav Yochanan say? He said, the egg that's born on Shabbos is mutter on Yontif, right? Rav Yochanan said that. Now, Rav Yochanan is going to say something that seemingly goes against what we just said. He says, Eitzim Shunashru Min Adekah B'Shabbos, if, let's say, a branch falls off a tree on Shabbos, Asur La'asikim B'Yontif, you're not allowed to use it as firewood on Yontif. So the Gemara says, V'al Tushiveni Beitza. So he's going to say, Rabbi Yochanan said the statement. He's saying, don't ask me about my egg case. I said the egg that's born on Shabbos is mutter on Yontif. Now I'm saying what? The wood that falls out and falls off on Shabbos, the tree, is also on Yontif. He's going to say, don't say to me, well, you're a contradiction with yourself. Why? Because there's a difference. This is very interesting. My time of Beitza, Mishum de Biyoma Nami Chazi Ligmuavalo Kasharile Alamachar, Miyada Yada de Bas Yoma Asura. It's like this. The egg's born on Shabbos, right? Let's say there's no concept of muksa. Would you be able to have the egg? Yeah, because what would you do? You just swallow it. You just, like we said, rocky, you know, like you just smash the egg and you drink the egg, right? So we say to you now it's aser, and it's only mutter tomorrow. So what are they going to say? They're going to realize, people are going to realize the reason why it was aser bo bayom is not because of some malacha. It's aser because of muksa. And they're always going to know that when an egg is born on the first day, it's going to be aser. But by trees, Eitim to lo chazi liyamo ishar luhu lemachas lemer biyamo na mishar biyetul mishum Shabbos who to lo chazi lasak. By branches that fall off trees, right? Let's say you say on the second day it's mutter. So people are going to think to themselves, really, la'olam, it would be mutter bo bayom. Oh, why wasn't it mutter when it fell off on Shabbos? Because you can't. What are you supposed to do with the tree on Shabbos? You can't burn it on Shabbos. So they're going to think, the reason why it was mutter the next day is not because of the fact that there's a concept of muksa and it's always going to be muksa on the first day. The reason why it's mutter on the second day is because of the fact that on the first day you couldn't use it because you can't burn wood on Shabbos. So that's what he says. He says, the reason why we're going to allow the egg to be mutter on the second day is because people will realize that the reason why it was usher on the first day is because not because of the fact that you can't use it, because you should be able to drink it raw or eat it. It's you could have used it, but simply there's muksa. So they'll always remember that on the first day, there's always a concept of muksa, and it's always us on the first day. But by the logs, if you say they're mutter on the second day, so what's going to happen? The people are going to say, really, they should have been mutter on the first day also, but why weren't they mutter? Because it was Shabbos, and you can't burn trees on Shabbos, but there's really no concept of muksa. So we have to say that's us on the second day so that people don't make that mistake. So let's continue. Amar of Masna, we're almost finished. Eitzim Shinashim in the Dekal, Atoch HaTanah B'Yantif, Mar Balaim Eitzim, Muchanim U'Masikon. So it's like this. This is very interesting. So this is, it's like this. You have an oven. Now the way they had their ovens, it was basically kind of in an open, in a courtyard. Right? Let's say you have a palm tree hanging over the oven. And it's Yantif, and a branch falls off the palm tree and falls directly into the oven. So what do we say? The branch bo bayom on the first day, right, is always going to be usser. So we say here, though, that if it falls directly into the oven, on yantif,
into the fire,
so you're allowed to add other wood and then use the wood also that fell in. In other words, it falls in, the oven is empty. It falls in, right, it should be muksa, it shouldn't be allowed. You're allowed to add in other wood and then you could burn the wood that fell in, which is muksa, together with all the other wood.
That the concept of the egg with 1,000.
Oh, so we'll see. Very, very good. So it's going to ask the question because no. But in the egg case, we said the egg. Everything is usher. Here we're saying what, that the piece is batel. Once you add more, it's going to be batel. So we say. So the Gemara says, "B'hakom ha'apich b'isur." So the first the Gemara says like this. But how is that mutter? Why? Because even there are other questions we're going to ask also of the fact that you're being mevato isur lechachila, right? But first it asks like this. When the log falls into the fire off the tree, so they used to move the wood around, right, to like make sure that like, you know, the heat is spread everywhere. So what's the problem? So the problem is in a chanami, if it falls in, let's say, and there's already a fire, so you're not doing anything. So it's burning up and you're not doing anything. But here it falls in and you're gonna have to move it around. So you're touching muksa things. You're touching that log which fell off the tree, which is muksa bo bayom. So how is it gonna be that you're allowed to move it around? How are you allowed to handle it? Right? If you want to say fine that it just fell in and then it's burning, then that's fine, because you're not touching it. But here, you're gonna be moving it around, you're handling muksa. How are you allowed to handle muksa? So the Gemara says no, because since you added other logs, which were ready from before Yontif, so it's like it's diluted, it's gone. Right? So the Gemara says, Marbalim eats it, as we say, came into Ruba, they had tear inu, kikamahapich, but tear kamahapich. Since you added in all these mutter logs, when you're moving everything, yeah, you're touching the muksa stuff, but you're also touching most of the stuff you're touching is mutter, and therefore it's not recognizable. But then the Gemara asks the obvious question, right? Welcome, Vato Isr Lachachila. Right? You had a piece of wood that fell in. So we're like, it's muksa, how are you allowed to move it? Oh, because there's other wood in there that you put in, that's heter. Since you're allowed to move that heter wood, it's mevatel, the iser wood. But how did that wood get there? It got there because of the fact that after this wood fell in, you put in this other wood. And then there's a problem of mevatlin iser lecharchilo. You're not allowed, like, let's say something happens, let's say you have, simple case, like you have, let's say, a kosher hamburger and a not kosher hamburger, right? And they're mixed together and you don't know which is which. So in that case, it's usher because there's no rove. It's 50-50. One is kosher, one's not kosher, so it's usher. You're not allowed to purposely take another hamburger that's kosher and put it in there so that there's majority kosher and it's butthole the usher one. You're not allowed to do that. So through here. So we're like, yeah, you're allowed to move it around because the log that was usher is with other logs that are mutter. Yeah, but how did those other logs that are mutter get there? It's because after this usher log fell in, you put in a million mutter logs. So how are you allowed to do that? So if it's not in mevatel and iser lechachila, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be mevatel and iser like on purpose. If it happens by accident, the Mishnah says in Trumos, if it happens by accident, like let's say you didn't realize that the log fell in, right? And then all you just added more logs. Then you're like, oh, I look at this tree; it's missing a limb. It must be that that log fell in. That's mutter. But when you know that it fell off, when you know that it fell off, of course you're not allowed to add other stuff. So the, one second. Let's just finish this idea. So this is interesting. So he says, "Hanimi the bidir oraisa aval bidir abanim mevatlin." So we say the iser to be mevatel, the iser to be mevatel and iser, right? The prohibition to purposely be mevatel, to be batel and iser, is only by deoraisa things, right? Like with the hamburgers. You had a kosher hamburger, not kosher hamburger. The hamburger, let's say, is for sure treif. It comes, let's say, from a cow that did not have shechita. It's deoraisa treif, right? So there you're not allowed to add in a third hamburger, a third kosher hamburger to make it batel, right? You have the non-kosher hamburger and the kosher hamburger. You're not allowed to add in another kosher hamburger to make it batel, because that's a deoraisa thing. You're not allowed to be mevatel iser lechachila by deoraisa. But by deorabanan, you are allowed to be mevatel, right? So here the tree, the thing fell off the tree. It's only a deorabanan issue of muksa, right? So since it's only a deorabanan issue of muksa, so there you're allowed to add other wood to be mevatel the iser. Alvin, what was your question?
Okay. How do you justify the fact that you're allowed to get more logs in Shabbos if
Yontif.
Yontif, okay. Compared to the fact that you can't touch a candle because you might come to
Well, Shabbos also is different because, right? But the difference is that this case is only there. On Yontif, you're allowed to use a candle for light. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do because you're doing havara when you move the thing. You're allowed to burn wood on Yontif. You're not allowed to burn on Shabbos.
Gotcha.
No problem. So you may come to extinguishing the coals when you use the wood.
Not on Yontif. There's no issue of that. Okay. Right? So what does Tosfos say? So this is interesting. So we just said a rule. What? That things that are dirabanan, you're allowed to be mevatel lechachila. Right? If some dirabanan prohibition falls into a mixture, you're allowed to be mevatel lechachila. So what do we should have a question from last week. So if you remember correctly, we talked about these figs that were truma dirabanan. Why is figs truma dirabanan? Because we said on a dirabanan, on a biblical level, there's only three things that could really be truma. Dagon, tirosh, and yitzar. Right? Wine, oil, and the five species. Right, of grain. Everything else is only derabanan. So the figs are only derabanan. So what do we say? We're like, we said the figs were on the top of the barrel. And then we said, like, the smachlokas that if there's like 100 other barrels, so then it's like batel, the truma figs. But that's also derabanan, right? Because the figs are only truma derabanan. So why weren't you allowed to just add more figs to that barrel to make that there's 100-1? That's what Tosos asks. So Tosos says like this. This is very important. Because this limits what we said in the Gemara very, very significantly. When are you allowed to be mevatel iser lechachila by a dirabanan? When the dirabanan exists on its own and it's not based on a deraisa. In other words, truma dirabanan, why do you have truma dirabanan? Because there's a concept of truma deraisa, right? Muksa is only a dirabanan thing. So by muksa, which in our case is only dirabanan, so then we say that you're allowed to be mevatel iser lechachila by a dirabanan. But by truma dirabanan, which is also a dirabanan, you might think that you're allowed to be mevatel it also, but no, since truma dirabanan comes off an idea of truma deraisa, so therefore you might think that just like a truma dirabanan you're allowed to do it, so truma deraisa you're allowed to do it. So thereby truma dirabanan we're not going to allow you to do it. So that's significantly limited, because most things come from a deraisa, right? Most dirabanans aren't just a dirabanan in itself and have no basis off of deraisa. Fine. Let's just do a little bit more. Itmar, Shnei Yom Tovim Shogolios. So okay, so now this is the question that everyone loves. So basically the 2 days of Yontif, not Rosh Hashanah. Right? So an egg that's born on the first day is a mutter on the second day. So Rav Amar Nolda Bezeh Mutaris Bezeh. If it's born on the first day, it's mutter on the second day. Rav Asi Amar Nolda Bezeh Asur Bezeh. Rav Asi says that if it's born on the first day, it's Asur on the second day. Lema Kasabar Rav Asi Kedusha Achasi. So Rav Asi, again, we asked the same question. Why did Rav Asi say on the second day it's Asur? It must be that he holds that the 2 days of Yontif are one long day, right? And therefore, there was never a break, and therefore, that's why it's going to be Asur on the second day.
It only has to do then with Rosh Hashanah, because there was only one day.
Right, so that's going to be the answer. But the assumption is that all the Yontifs were like that, right?
Okay, but did we skip something?
What did we skip?
About Rosh Hashanah.
No, he said. Oh, I skipped. You're right. You're right. Good point. Okay. Thank you. That's important. Yeah. So the Ravashi Damar called devastation. What team are Peter Ban Lobato Ma'ikilam Emar? Right. That's good because that's actually a very important point. So Rav Ashi said, we say like this. Rav Ashi said on Amud Aleph, if you remember, we said the egg that is born on Yontif, that's a suffix whether it's born on Yontif or not. We said, according to Rav Ashi, it's Aser, even though it's only a Dirabon and suffix according to Rav Yossi and Rav Yitzchak. Right? According to Rav Yossi and Rav Yitzchak, it's only Dirabon and suffix. So he holds what? That even by Dirabonans, we're always Machmir. So when this Dirabonan, these logs fall into, then we add in other logs, how are you allowed to be mevatel, right? Just like he said, by the egg which falls into 1,000 other eggs, even though it's a dirabanan issue, he'd say it's not batel. Same thing by here, with this dirabanan issue of muksa, right? He's machmer by all dirabanans because of the fact that it's a darvash yishlo matirim, that tomorrow will become mutter. So how is it that the wood, right, you're allowed to add more wood? It's still going to be an issue of a more serious issue in his mind because it's mutter tomorrow, so it's usher now. So he says, like this, Hani mili hechad isali sur be'ine, hacha mikle kali isura. Okay, so he says basically that ultimately the wood is going to be burned up. We're only more machmir when the isur will stay by itself. In other words, when the egg falls into other eggs, so the isur is still going to be there all the whole time, and therefore you're not allowed to eat any of the eggs, right? Here, though, you're burning the wood, all the wood is basically being destroyed. So even there, Rav Ashi is going to be more mako. So now going back to what we were saying before. Itmar shnei yamim tovim shel galios. Rav Amar nol debezem mutaris bezem. Rav Asi Amar nol debezem asur bezem. Again, there's a machlokas. If you have 2 days of yantif, on the second day, is it mutter, the egg? So Rav says it's mutter on the second day. Rav Asi says the egg that's born on the first day is usher on the second day. Name a kasavar Rav Asi kedusha achasi. So let's say that Rav Asi, why does he say it's usher on the second day? It must be that he holds that it's one long kedusha. But then he says, like what Alvin said, between the first day of Yontif and the second day of Yontif, Rav Asi would make Havdalah. Right? On Shabbos and Yontif, we make Havdalah. But he would make Havdalah even between the first one day of Yontif and the other day of Yontif.
How can you do that? Both the same. Huh?
No, so he says, obviously, he holds that there, it's not one long Kedusha. It's two separate days. It's not one long day of Yontif. It's two separate days. No, but there is. According to him, he holds that there is one break. We don't hold like this, but he held like that.
Why would you think he would have held like that? I mean,
so we'll say why. Rav Asi svukim is fake leiv avad hachel lachamra v'hachel lachamra. So again, what's the question? The question is, if Rav Asi, why does Rav Asi say that the egg that's born on the first day of Yontif is usher on the second day of Yontif? If Rav Asi, why? Because you would say it's one long day, but that's not true because he would make Havdalah between one day of Yontif and the next day of Yontif. So obviously he holds two separate days and should be mutter on the second day. So we say no. The problem is like this: Rav Asi had a suffik. When they made the idea they should keep 2 days of Yontif, what was it? Was it that they made it that it's all long one day? Right? They made, even though we know which day is Yontif, they just made it that both days are Yontif. Or no, it was a whole thing was it was a suffix, right? They weren't sure. People didn't know which day is Yontif. So they said, you have to keep two separate days of Yontif, right? But it's not one long day. It's not like they made a low plug that it's a one long day of Yontif. It's two separate days, right? And therefore, by Havdalah, he went L'chumra and said, what? Maybe it's two separate days, so I have to make Havdalah between. But by the egg, he also went L'chumra and said, maybe it's one long day, and therefore the egg is not going to be mutter on the second day. All right, Shkoyach.